and pray that the outcome of this test would be good, there'd be no major problems. We know that we all need physical strength, and we know a lot of the saints are having some struggles. So we entrust all of them to you, but specifically, just remember Dan for tomorrow. And Father, we thank you for, I thank you for each one here who has prayed tonight, the needs of your children, as we come before the throne of grace, just to ask for your help. So we thank you that you have heard, and we praise you for that. May you bless our time. May it truly accomplish your will. May it be guided by your Spirit. Obviously, as he does, be consistent with your word. So we entrust ourselves to you, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I've got something else in my pocket. If you're going to choose between white chocolate and a Tootsie Roll... Janice and everybody else has to be sworn to silence because I didn't get permission from my wife to bring this. Okay. What was your question? Okay, Bible study's over. Life is filled with choices. And we make all kinds of choices all the time. You know, it might be the color in a room. It might be where you're going to buy a certain object or certain article. Just the daily things. We're making choices all the time. Now, of course, some of them are probably not quite as critical, although white chocolate, I know, to some people is very, very important. But moral choices, as we've already talked about in some measure, have consequences. They have consequences. And we mentioned that. But I was thinking about this as well. Moral choices also develop character. I mean, it can be positive or negative. It is usually what happens in development of character. It's a series of choices that shapes basically who we are and what we're known for. And I was thinking of this, I think I addressed this just a little bit. I was thinking how some people, and I'm thinking of people who would be Christians, professing Christians. But this is true across the board. You know, maybe they've gone through their life and they've made lots of good choices. And we would commend them and we would enjoy their fellowship and on and on. But for some situations and some individuals, toward the latter part of their life, they've made some choices that were, it wasn't consistent with God's will, it wasn't consistent with his word, and they're known by those choices. That's what has, you know, thinking of cattle country, that's what brands them. And I think that's a sad thing, right? It's a sad thing because there still might have been a lot of good things in their life, but just that, those critical choices that, and you know, we never get to the end of making choices. And I was thinking in this situation of years ago, we mentioned this when we were in school in Dallas. We worked in this retirement center, and I've told you about this before. But most everybody in there would profess to be Christian. Probably most of them were Christian. But in this facility that we. Marty worked in one building, but we lived in another building, and I was in charge of that building and kind of the administrative type, you know. I mean, I wasn't over all of it, but we were there 24/7. So I got to know the people a lot just because, you know, you deal with needs and problems and, you know. But as I was thinking about around the, it was kind of an oval. The rooms were off around, and there was a center room. I was thinking of some of the things that these people, when I think of them, what I'm mindful of. Now, I don't, it's a little sad, but one lady, I don't know why, but she was very angry at her husband. Very angry at her husband. And it was just so sad. I mean, he had been a preacher, right? And I don't know what had occurred. I don't know what occurred in her life. I don't know what occurred in his life. But I know one thing. That's what she was characterized by. She was angry at him. Now, if you just met her on the street, you know, you probably wouldn't know that. But I knew that because my office was right next to their apartment, right? I knew that. There were other people. If I went a little further, there were some ladies that were always quarreling. They're both Christians, but they were always quarreling with each other. They were in the same apartment. They just couldn't stand each other. They wouldn't talk to each other unless they just had to. And they were marked, but they're both who go off their Bible studies, right? You know, figure, right? But you go around. Now, there was another lady that was extremely, extremely kind, you know, marked by kindness, right? And you could just go. I remember another gentleman. He was a Southern Texas gentleman. He was just a gentleman, and he was a very fine man. Very loved his wife very, very much, and but their choices had brought them to this season of life that's what they were known by. And so we never get to the point where we don't have any more choices to make until we're with the Lord, right? And so we come tonight, we want to talk about choices along the way, obviously, and we're going to deal with several different things, this road of wisdom that we want to be on. But some choices are foolish, some are wise. Obviously, we want to more and more consistently make wise choices. Now, we all mess up. We all know we look back and we think, oh, man, why did I do that? But we're not just trying to leave ourselves discouraged. We're just trying to say where we're at. We go from where we're at, not where we've been. We go from where we're at, and we want to make good choices. So I want to go back. Obviously, a lot of this is in Proverbs. And I want to just, one that is very obvious. We're talking about choices. And I just want to introduce it with this, a little addition. The key that opens the door to wisdom that we've already talked about is the fear of the Lord. And we've said this, to take Him seriously. To take the Lord seriously, to see who He is and respond appropriately to who He is. And the true test of fearing the Lord is obeying the Lord. If we fear the Lord, we respond, we obey the Lord. Oh, we're going to be in Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3. Thank you, Gary. A true test of whether we fear the Lord is how we obey or disobey Him. Notice Proverbs 3:7. This is one we've been at, but we dare not leave it. We need to remember it. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Isn't it interesting how that idea of turning away. Remember this sometimes when I'm going through something, it pops in my mind, but I remember this. I was on my horse, and I was trying to get a bull, a big old bull, and I was trying to get him in a corral, and he'd been way in the pasture. And so I had been riding hard on trying to get him to go for quite a ways. Maybe 30 minutes. My horse and I were trying to get this bull to go to the corral and go to the barn and get him in and all that. But I remember that day as I finally got him in the corral, I was on my horse, and that bull had had enough. He had enough. He was not planning to go anywhere. And I remember when that old bull started coming at us, I remember my horse, we hit some slick mud, and boy, he was a little nervous too, and I was too. But I remember we turned away from that bull about as fast as you can turn away from something. And because that bull was, he was mad. He was angry. And he was just ready to take us out. No, we let him calm down a little bit and finally got him where we wanted him. But turn away. Now just think, when we're dealing with something that's evil, usually it's enticing. It's not like a bull coming at you, right? But if we're really conscious of the danger of it, we should be just like that horse. We should just want to get away, turn away from evil. Evil's so dangerous, so dangerous. And of course, has all, you know, in our culture, it's been decorated, right? Evil's decorated. It looks so nice. And Satan's so slick. But we turn away from evil. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. Now notice, this is another one. Proverbs 16:17. Proverbs 16:17. I like this, the way it's translated here. And then I wanted to read several other translations of it. Proverbs 16:17. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who watches his way preserves his life. Now the highway of the upright, I don't think they quite had the turnpike thing that we might think of when I think of highway, right? But the path. Now, one translation translates this way. The highway of the upright avoids evil. Avoids evil. He who guards his way guards his life. I like the way that last phrase. He who guards his way guards his life. So, again, the sense of taking God seriously and responding appropriately. We avoid evil. We avoid, and that is to guard our life. Guard our life. Now, that's the negative side of obedience. Okay, turning away from evil. But there's always a positive. There's always a positive response. You know, God's not, he's not a killjoy as we know. He wants real joy, right? He wants real joy. So he turns us to the good things, the positive things. Now, we're going to move from Proverbs. I want to go right into Psalms 128 for just a moment. Psalms 128. And I read these words. Verse 1, the Song of Ascents. Psalm 128. And again, this is just stating what we've already made known, but just to put it from the psalmist's perspective, how blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, and then notice, who walks in his ways, who walks in his ways. One of the things that we probably trip up on in our Christian life is when we make choices, we don't take God into account. I mean, I'm sure in this audience, a lot of times you do. But a lot of times when we think, this fear the Lord thing, fear the Lord, that means we have to be conscious of the Lord, right? We're conscious of him. We take him seriously. We're conscious of him. And as a result of that, I make this choice knowing that I am in his presence. I mean, he's totally aware of what's happening. And so I make that choice in view of who he is. And I just noticed a little book, and I'm sure some of you have read it. It's been around years, The Practice of the Presence of God. And I just saw that title just as I was looking at my bookshelf. I don't know why it just popped out. I mean, Practice of the Presence of God. Be conscious of his presence in our choices. And trying to say, you know, whatever I do today, I'm doing it before him. I mean, he obviously is, especially as a believer, he's with us, but obviously everybody he sees and he knows, and that should control and guide our response. We are to obey God's precepts, and the very practical application is obedience. Now, I just want to highlight this, and I'll explain why in just a little bit. But one of the things in Proverbs, and again, this is no news flash, is obedience. One of the ways a young person obeys God is by obeying their parents. And again, we all say amen. You know, all of us, anybody who has kids, say amen, right? But I just want to think about this, and then I want us to pray a little bit about this. Proverbs 1:8. Listen to these words. Proverbs 1:8. In a culture that has just totally departed from this concept, hear, Proverbs 1:8, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Hear your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. In other words, obey. Listen and follow through. Listen and follow through. Now, Proverbs 1:8, let's go to Proverbs 6. Now, this is just, again, is something I think our young parents and their children, just something we need to be supportive of them on. Proverbs 6:20, my son, observe the commandment of your father, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. So, again, the whole idea of obedience, of trying to teach that, to pass that on. I think we've lost that. Remember, we have this series downstairs in talking about training your children and, you know, God's way of training your kids. And I remember going through that. It's kind of a long series. It's a tape series. But I thought it had a lot, you know, raising kids God's way. I thought it had a lot of good principles. But people, you know, I wish we had a little newer version of it. But parents need wisdom in training their kids. And we need to pray that for our young parents and for our children, are these little ones. I was encouraged today. I was talking, Chris called me. My son called me, and he was driving. Sometimes he'll call me when he's just driving, you know, which I really appreciate. And so he was telling me a little bit about Levi, who's just started school. And he said one thing the teacher said, they just had teacher conference, whatever, this week. He said the teacher said he listens. You know, I thought, well, that's a good thing, right? Listens. Hopefully we can transport that a little bit when Grandpa's talking. But anyway, yeah, I mean, he's doing pretty good. He's a sweet, precious little boy. But that's a quality we need to see in our children. That would save them a lot of heartache as they grow older. Now, this is the danger of not obeying. Proverbs 19:27. And I think any Christian family, we all have grieved at times when we've seen our kids not respond well. But Proverbs 19:27, cease listening, my son, to discipline, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. You will stray from the words of knowledge. The need to learn this early on. What I was thinking is, what I'd like to do is just take a moment. We'll just take a moment. It won't take very long. I would like us to just stop. Maybe the person you're right next to, let's just pray for our young parents. You know, isn't it wonderful we have young families and have these little kids running around? I think that's wonderful. If our kids don't go to church here, wherever they go, that they might learn to train their children wisely, and our grandkids will learn to obey their parents. This would save them huge heartache. And so what I'd like to do is, and I think, you know what, our parents have such a challenge, and I've said that so many times, but let's just take a moment. And just the person right next to you, let's just pray. Let's just pray that parents will be wise in training their children, and children will be obedient in responding to their parents. Okay? Let's just take a moment and pray. Just whoever you're next, if you're all by yourself, just pray. But anyway, let's just take a few moments to pray. And then we'll proceed a little bit further before we stop. Okay? Father, we just pray, we just ask for great wisdom for our young families to raise their children to know the Lord. Give young families a heart to train their kids in the ways of the Lord. And we pray for obedient hearts. We pray for the salvation of our little ones. I thank you so much for Sunday school and Awana. We thank you for our youth ministry. We just pray that our young people would learn to obey their parents and then obey you. And we love our families. We love these young families. We love these little ones. But we know you love them far more. But our request is that you'll do a wonderful work in these families for eternal benefits. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me just do one, and obviously an area that just comes right out of this, but I want to just highlight it before we quit. Our obedience to the Lord. Let's just look at a few verses and then we'll be done. We'll go back to Psalms 111 for just a moment. Psalms 111. And we read these words. Again, this is very much consistent with what we've been talking, but just another verse. Psalms 111, verse 10. Psalms 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all those who do his commandments. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. You know, I think, you know, James talks about don't be hearers of the word only. I think that's a danger for us, all of us. You know, I mean, the wonderful thing is that we're able to come to a chapel and hear the Bible taught. I mean, that's a wonderful, wonderful privilege. But it also can delude us. We think if we hear it, that was our goal, you know? Well, yes, we thank the Lord we can hear it, but we dare not be hearers of the word only. We want to listen, and in order, what does God want us to do with this? How does he want us to apply this? And a lot of times when we hear a message like with Ron's on Sunday, well, you know, the challenge, you know, take heed to yourself. Take heed to yourself. Well, what is it that God wants me to take heed to? What specific things do I need to pay attention to? And we're all unique, and we're at different stages, and we're different challenges, but we all need to take heed to ourselves. Let's look at a verse in, this is going to the New Testament, John 14:23, it's an interesting verse, and I thought about it at various times, and it seems to almost go contrary to some things that we say about God's love. In John 14:23, it said, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. Now, we say commonly, you know, God's love is unconditional. And I think that's probably a true statement. You know, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I mean, huge. God loves all the people who've been on the planet, right? All humanity. That's a wonderful thing. And we also know God loves all believers. There's a wonderful thing, you know, especially when we've trusted Christ, we're regenerate, we know the Lord, we know we're loved. But I think in this verse, it takes it a step further. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Okay, that's part of the evidence. You know, we talk about obedience, and sometimes we can think of obedience, especially if you're a young person, you think, oh man, you know, that my parents, they just, it's just so boring. It's just, you know, legalism, you know, they challenge us with that sometimes when they don't want to obey. And sometimes we can see that as God, well, I don't want to do that. If anyone loves me, notice it's not just doing the right thing, but it's having the right motive. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. Well, I thought God loved the whole world. Well, he does love the whole world. But there's a special sense, and I think it's this. only obedient believers will enjoy the full benefits of God's love. You know, we said this before, but just think of a little child or a young child or a teenager. You know, their parent loves them and they want the best for them. But if they're in constant rebellion, they can't enjoy their parents. They can't enjoy the full benefits of their parents' love. Their parents still love them, but they don't want to talk to them. You know, they're always fussing and fighting with each other. And if you have that, they can't enjoy the love. The parents want to, you know, engulf them in their love, but they're resisting that. They're fighting that. And sometimes that's the way we are with God. If we're not drawing near to Him and enjoying Him, we don't get to enjoy the full benefits of how much He loves us. And I think that's, notice this is a very wonderful promise. Jesus said and said to them, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word. Now that's just part of staying in fellowship. And my Father will love him, and we will, notice, we will come to him and make our abode with him. He's talking to believers. He's not talking about initial salvation. He's saying, as I understand it, as we draw near to the Lord, stay tight with the Lord, through the word, by the Spirit, we get to enjoy more and more that fellowship with the Lord, that intimacy with the Lord, that relationship with the Lord. He says, we will come, we will abide. There's a sense of fellowship that we can enjoy. And if we're fussing and fighting with the Lord, and we're kicking at what he wants us to do, we don't want to obey, you know, whatever it is, we don't get to enjoy him to the full measure that he wants us to. But I think it's a wonderful thing to know this passage and the importance of obedience. It's not just, you know, straighten up, you know, like your dad used to say to you, straighten up, right? Well, it's not just that. It's having the relationship that you enjoy one another. You walk together. You enjoy life together. We enjoy the Lord. And obedience has a part of making life rich and full. Now, obviously, we can only do that by his strength and his power. I understand that. But that's not the emphasis right now. But only by the power of the Spirit can we pull this off. But we want to pull it off. We want to do this because obedience brings blessing. And it brings intimate fellowship, the enjoyment of fellowship with the Lord. And that's what really, apart from that life, even for a believer, apart from really enjoying the Lord, life is somewhat empty. It's somewhat, there's a vacuum. There's something missing. But as we draw near to him, we depend on him, we obey him, we stay close to him, we enjoy life, abundant life. Isn't that a wonderful thing God has for us? And so obedience, now, I know obedience can move into legalism when we're requiring things God hasn't required. I understand that. But we're not talking about legalism. We're talking about staying tight with the Lord, obeying the Lord, enjoying the Lord. Let's just ask him to help us. God, we pray that we will grow in our relationship with you. We'll grow in our obedience to you. Whatever it is, for all of us, there's areas. None of us have arrived. And so whatever it is, in our individual lives that you want us to adjust by your Spirit's power, help us do that. By your grace, may we respond and just enjoy the relationship, enjoy the walk with you, that it will be abundant. We pray this in Jesus' name.